Wow! Woo! Man. See, that's what you get when you meet the master, huh? Give the Lord a hand of applause if that's you. Now look at this up here, Mary's foot. When we put our problems in whose hands?
God.
He puts his peace, what? In our heart. That's sort of what I've been preaching on. We need to understand, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got issues. What do you do with those problems? What do you do with those issues? If you put them in God's hands, I promise you, you will find peace. Give the Lord one more hand of applause in his house. After Easter, I'm going to start a new series. But today I'm going to take the opportunity to preach what I love to preach on every time this time of year. I've taught this for 28 years here at Cove Baptist Church. This is not anything new to you, but it's a reminder of what all Jesus did while he was on the cross. Now, he was on the cross how many hours? Six. 6 hours he was on the cross. Keep that in mind. Now, while he was on the cross, he said 7 things. Didn't say six, said 7. Now, you may remember last year, and Michael's not here today, but I had him up here to help me during that. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I told him, I said, every time I get ready to talk about one of them, you read it. Now, last year, I only had him read 6. This year, you're going to see that they're numbered. Listen, don't hold that against me, people. I'm getting old. I know there are 7. You know, I made the honor roll in seminary. Don't judge me, all right? But last year, I cut it down to 6. This year, we're going to make it right. So if you go back on the video and look last year, you'll see we talked about 6. Didn't mean to, just did. So those who watch me on the internet, there are 7. 7. All right, here we go. 7 things Jesus said from the cross. In order. Look, it says number what?
1.
Well, he said, I'm going to number them for you this year. All right. Now, before we get into this, you got to understand something. Can you imagine the pain he's in? Feet been nailed, hands been nailed, bleeding, people making fun of him. Of course, there were some there that were crying, mocking him. He's dying. With every breath was in him, he's dying slowly but surely. But even in that, he's going to give us 7 things here that's going to show you the true heart of Jesus. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the very first thing that he says in the midst of all the people that are mocking him, making fun of him, people who actually nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. In other words, they were just gambling for what clothes he had on. He says, Father, forgive them. Because they're clueless. Thank God he said that about me, because sometimes I'm clueless. Really, I am. The way I act, what I say, where I go, what I do, sometimes I get clueless about how much Jesus loves me and how much he's willing to forgive me. Now, if he can forgive somebody who nailed those nails in his hands and in his feet and to make fun of him, surely to goodness he can forgive anybody who does the sound of my voice. He said, Father, forgive them. The very first thing. And all of that pain. See, it's hard to forgive, isn't it, when you're in pain. If somebody causes you pain, it's pretty hard to forgive them, isn't it? This means yes. That's right. It is. That's right. Don't inflict pain on me and expect me to forgive you. It don't work that way. but it should, because Jesus taught us to turn what? The other cheek. That's right. And believe me, this is the master of turning the other cheek. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Number two. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. There were three people, three separate crosses, Jesus in the middle. You know all this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know already. One, mocking. By basically saying this. You know, you keep talking about how you're Jesus. You're Jesus. You got all this power. Well, if you got all that power, how about getting me down off this cross and getting you off the cross? Let's just go on and party. We don't need to be up here in all this pain. If you got that kind of power, Jesus, just bring it to a stop. The other man on the other side said, you know what, you need to shut up. You don't even know who you're talking to. He looked at Jesus and he said, this key phrase, will you remember me? Let me tell you something. Thank God we serve, but Jesus has got a good memory.
Amen.
He said, Jesus, will you remember me when you get to paradise? Here's what he said. He said, son, today, in just a few moments, you're going to be with me. Where? In paradise. Give the Lord a hand. Don't leap over me when I'm in that casket, because I'm going to be in paradise. All right? You know, it's okay to say, oh, you know, I miss. Because when I preach funerals, we talk about missing people. We should miss people if we love them. But if they are a child of God, they're in a much better place than you and I. Because at that moment you take your last breath, you will be in paradise with Jesus.
Amen.
Give the Lord one more hand of applause. All right, everybody, here we go. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, now this is one of the most precious scenes, and every time I teach you on this and preach this, I say the same thing. It's one of the most precious scenes in the Bible. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. Now let me tell you real quick, we all know this is John, but let me tell you why. You see there where it comes out of? It's not in the other three Gospels. One place you're going to find it in the Gospel of John, because Jesus was very close to John. And I want to tell you why. It's because whatever he told John to do, John did it. He was very responsible. Now, Peter was a good guy. Trouble with Peter, but he couldn't shut his mouth. Now, which one of you, John or Peter? No answer. Whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Mother, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that moment, that disciple took her into his own home. Now, every time that I preach this, I always say, during Jesus' day, you know, they didn't have food stamps, social security, a disability, things that could take care of you if you were elderly. But no such thing. The younger had to take care of the older. That's how it had to work in Jesus' day. Before he left this world, this was the mother that gave birth to him. This was the mother that stood behind him, beside him, cried over him, and was crying at this moment. He looked down at her and seen all the emotion that's going through her. And he just simply said, John, I want you to take care of Mom. And from that day forth, John took care of his mother. What kind of a scene is that? Is that the heart of Jesus? How precious is that? Don't think Jesus doesn't love the heart of a Christian mom. Don't think that's not very powerful when Christian mothers pray across this globe. And from that hour, from that moment, John listened to Jesus. You know, the key to this whole thing, you can talk about all the keys to it. There's a lot of keys in this. But the fact of it is that John listened. Let me tell you something. When Jesus speaks to you and tells you something to do, believe me, you're better off to do it.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry, here we go. Now, these last four things, they happen fairly quickly. This is important. probably the last few minutes of his life. Now, every year, I tell you, even when I was in seminary, I couldn't pronounce this stuff. But we'll try to get there. At about the ninth hour, now, Jewish time starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. He was put on the cross the third hour. 6 plus 3 equals what? 9. He was put on the cross at 9 o'clock. The ninth hour, if you take 6 and add 9 to it, it makes it what? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Alright? Keep this in mind. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, and here's what he said, but here's what we know it to be, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you're talking about powerful. I, for one, thank God that this is what Jesus said, because let me tell you what he did at this moment in history before he got off the cross. It wasn't because he was sitting there bleeding to death. It's because at this one time in history, before he comes off that cross, he's going to take the sins of every person, past, present, and future, he took on the cross with him. Now, here's what this means. At the time that he did that, God had to turn his back on him. Let me tell you why. God cannot see sin. That's why at that very moment Jesus felt the most ungodliest pressure he ever. This was the only time that he did not feel the love of his Father because he became sin for you and me. Can you imagine? Can you try to imagine in your mind the pressure and what he felt at this moment? He took on the sins of the entire world to be forgiven. Took on your sin, my sin, everybody's sin. And he did it, and when he did it, God could look upon that sin for this moment in history. No wonder, no wonder he said, what have you done, Father? I don't feel your presence. Let me tell you something. Anytime you and I sin, we're not going to feel the presence of God. Do you understand that? Anytime that we sin, you're not going to feel the presence of God. He's standing around sin. Now, once you ask for forgiveness, it's right there. He forgives you at the moment, and his presence is right there with you no matter where you're at. But if you're going to choose to sin, don't be looking for the presence of God. Now, all you got to do is call upon him, and he's right there. He hasn't left you. You're just not going to know he's there because he's not going to be around sin. Do you understand the teaching? Say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, understand something here that I want you to see. Because a lot of people have said, you know, I don't know that Jesus was really in the physical when he was on the cross. You look at something. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, in other words, he's done forgive everybody's sin, he's taken care of his mother. Okay? He's taken care of the two on the cross with him. Took care of one. The other one mocked him. Everything's coming to a close here. But before he leaves this world, you're going to be reminded of just what he is in the physical. And Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. I thirst. Can you imagine losing all of that fluid out of him? We got people in the medical field now. You know when you lose liquids, buddy, that's hard on you. He's bleeding. He's dying. Liquids are going out of his body. And he's thirsty. The Old Testament said before he would die, this is what he would say. He knew that. He knew his Bible. But this is strictly a reminder to you and I. Don't think he didn't feel the pain. Don't think he wasn't in the physical at this moment. He felt everything on that cross. He said, I thirst. You remember what they did? They didn't give him water, did they? What did they give him? Alright, Larry, here we go. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now there is one more here. And they may have been saying pretty close to the same thing, but let's take this one here. He says it's finished. Does that mean he's finished? No. Oh, some of them thought that's what it meant. He came to do one thing in the physical. He's going to do a lot more in the spiritual. But he came to do one thing in the physical, and that was to become sin for you. That was his whole reason. Other than all of his teaching there for 3 years, thank God we've got all that in Scripture. But that's not the main thing he came. He came to do one thing, and that was go to a Calvary's cross and to die for you. And his disciples didn't understand that. His loved ones didn't understand that. People around him didn't understand that. That followed him, they didn't understand that. He knew what he was doing. He said, my course. You know, Paul said the same thing at the end of his life. He said, my course is done. He says, it's finished. All right, Larry, let's look at number 7. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, here's why this means so much to me. One day, if you're a child of God, this is what's going to happen to you. All right? This is what's going to happen to you if you're a child of God. You're going to be able to say, Father, thy hands. Here I come. You're not going to go there in the physical. Lord knows, I don't want to go in the physical. Look at this body of mine. Who in the world is going to take this to heaven? Look at some of y'all's bodies. You don't want to take this to heaven with you, do you? Lord, some of you creak and pop and everything else. Lord, I don't want no creaking or no popping up there. I don't want to take this with me. Carl, Lord, I know you don't want to take that body you got up there. Lord, no. Don't want to do that. In thy hands, I commend my spirit. And when that happens, when it says here he gave up the ghost, really what it means was he just stops breathing. That's all that means. If you're in a medical field, when you stop breathing, it's pretty well all over. When the heart stops, that's it. No matter what kind of good shape you're in, when the heart stops and you stop breathing, then that's it. And once he said this, he died. Now let me tell you something, he died. Because if you don't believe he died, how in the world are you going to celebrate Easter? There are some people out here that say they don't really know whether Jesus died or not on the cross. Yes, he did. He was dead at that moment. Dead. Didn't mean he's not alive today. We haven't got there yet. But you have to understand one thing. If he didn't die, what's Easter about? What do we got to celebrate? He had to die. It was part of prophecy. He had to die, and he died. He gave up the ghost. He stopped breathing. His heart stopped. Now, understanding all this, he said 7 things from the cross, and 7's key, isn't it? You know this, I've talked to this. Didn't say 6, even though I may have said that last year. He said 7, because 7 is perfection, and the reason why he said 7. It was God's perfect will at this moment in history that he died and he's going to be buried. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate. He didn't stay there long, did he?
Amen.
Yeah, he didn't. Now, next week is Palm Sunday. And I enjoy preaching on Palm Sunday. It's a pretty significant time. Jesus comes into Jerusalem for the last week of his life. There's a lot happens during that last week of his life. Okay? But how he comes in surprises a lot of people. They're all singing, laying down the palms, all of that, treating him like royalty. A few days later, they're going to be shouting, crucify him, crucify. That's how fast people are turned on you. You know that? Don't think Jesus don't know what it is to have people turn on you. He knows what it's like. next week. You're one group or the other. Either you're the group that turns on Jesus, or you're the group that praises Jesus. That's really what it comes down to. And you choose what your relationship is with Jesus. Next Sunday, big day. 2 weeks, Easter. But keep one thing as we leave here today. Everything that Jesus said on the cross had a meaning, had a purpose for your life and my life. And understand how much He loves you. And everybody said, give the Lord a hand of applause. Please. So every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Truly, Father, may we understand what the cross means. What Jesus did on the cross, what He said on the cross. As we sing that old wonderful gospel song, the old river cross. He took my sin, and that's a lie. He took everybody's sin within this congregation that I'm preaching. And He took everybody's sin that's watching on the internet today. And if you believe in Him, if you believe in a hill called Calvary, where Jesus laid down His life for you, if you believe that, you can be saved. But you have to believe. You have to believe in a cross first before you can believe in a resurrection. You have to believe that Jesus can forgive your sins because He did that at the cross. But you have to believe. You have to make public what you believe in order to be saved as we know it. My prayer is that everyone within the sound of my voice is saved. If not, just come forward and say, Brother Roger, I want to be saved. That's all you have to do. I want to have a word of prayer with you. I'm going to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And your life can change forevermore if you're serious about it. If you're watching me bayonet, I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, day or night, doesn't matter. All you have to do is bow your head wherever you're at and just say, Jesus, I believe in You. Forgive me of my sin. I want to accept You as my Lord and Savior. And if you'll do that, He'll change you. And you will have a place in heaven one day. But the choice is yours. No one's going to force you. No one's going to make you. The choice is yours. Father, bless these people. We thank You for that. In Jesus' holy name we pray. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, and Brother Michael begins to play. Would you come in the name of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.